All right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
We're coming off of a really good week one for our league, really for the NFL in general. Oh. It was a great week with close matchups, interesting games, good conversation, banter, and trash talk on the group chat. So I'm happy. I'm a happy commissioner. Yeah. I'm a happy team owner coming away with a victory. And speaking of which, congrats to you, sir, for the top score of the week.
Thanks very much. I got to say, I love that addition. I absolutely do. As soon as I saw that my game was probably going to be a lock, I switched gears, and that kept me in the weekend all the way through Monday night. It's a game changer, and I loved it. Lots of fun.
It'll keep you in the weekend, because then you're playing against other owners than just your head-to-head matchup.
That's right.
It's going to keep you in the season no matter what, all the way through week 16. If you're a team that had a rough first half of the year, you get hot, you can still win some money in the back half with the weekly wins. So I'm really excited about that. I think it'll be fun to follow that the whole year.
I think it's brilliant. Now, I noticed a certain passive-aggressive email went out clarifying the expectations of the $20, which $20 a week, you know, taken literally, means $20 in a given week. However, I understand and appreciate the clarification. Just had to adjust my expectations. I was ready to spend some money that I didn't have. So,
tell you what, if anyone is strapped for cash and needs their $20 that they won from that week, I will get it to you immediately.
Hey, man.
Just to reduce the number of transactions for distribution for the season, I'll otherwise reserve until the end and give you one lump sum.
It was just a little chip on my shoulder. I felt like between that and the power rankings, which were mostly brilliant, by the way, Pete, no surprise there, of course, as always. Love reading those. However, I couldn't help but notice it all comes down to expectations. I think that I just feel like, you know, some kind of affirmation. I was fishing for something, you know. Good game, Seth. Hey, you did well.
I told you, you've already won the league.
The algorithm. Yeah, that's pandering, though. That's not a real congratulations.
I said you drafted Kamara, and you've won the league.
Yeah,
good job.
You refer to it as a cheat code.
Yeah, you won.
No credit.
You got
happenstance. Happenstance.
The season's over. Like when Chewy drafted Todd Gurley last year, and Todd Gurley scored the most points ever from weeks 14 to 16, the season was over after the draft, and we didn't know it until.
As editor of Truth and Reconciliation, I will intentionally remove every bit of pandering possible, and by removing it, it negates it, sir. In the fantasy god's eyes, the TNR is law. Speaking of pandering and the TNR, this week we've seen the results of we had the kind of the anti-curse going for one of our league managers, as well as the Madden curse going. And I think they're real. I think the data demonstrates proof and evidence. I'm, of course, talking about Brock, and I'm also thinking about somebody else very special who is joining us new tonight. Pete, would you care to introduce our first TNR live guest?
Yes, I'm very excited. We are joined this evening by the one and only Charles Cedric Gaines, new to the league, first time joining us on the podcast as our first guest of the season, most appropriately as the newest member of the league. Charles, welcome to the show. Welcome to the league. We are so excited to have you in both.
Thank you so much. I am a huge fan, not only of YouTube, but of the program. This is fantastic. This is great.
He's possibly, I wish you could see his grin. I mean, it is literally touching both earlobes. He's so excited to be here. We're just thrilled to have him. Charles, I mean, you make this enjoyable for us. Like, just how bought in you are, how excited you are to be here. I just appreciate your attitude and your full commitment already, not only to this seat in the podcast moment, but also to the GroupMe, to the draft. You are all in, buddy, and we're loving it.
Well, thank you. No, this is great. And I think in one of my most recent texts to the group, I am a good friend. I'm glad to be playing with friends, but I'm here to win. So make sure that's clear.
Okay. We can appreciate that. Now, Charles, I want to kind of go back to when I invited you into the lead. When there was an opening in the lead, really, you were the first person I thought of. I was just like, hey, maybe Charles would be interested. Now, I want to know, what was that like on your end? And really, how much did you know about fantasy football at the time I invited you into the league? And then what was your process from there in terms of getting ready for the season?
Okay, cards on the table. No, truthfully, I had not played fantasy football before. This was
ever. Oh, man.
Ever. See,
that's the hard-hitting truth that we're about to bring.
That I was afraid of.
Indeed is the truth. Now, and when you asked me, I was very, very excited, only because I have a number of different things going on. Like new kid, very exciting.
Congratulations, by the way.
Wow.
Thank you.
Had no idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, work and everything else. I needed an outlet. And this has served as a fantastic outlet. A lot of fun. Great competition, that sort of thing.
Well, Charles, you came out swinging. You dove into the draft. This energy that we've come to just appreciate you for being who you are, that we first saw in your reaction to some of the pre-draft podcasts as well as the post-draft evaluation. You're dropping in these, I'm going to go with epic political campaign ads that you're throwing into the GroupMe, the stakeholder investment reels as you get ready to go to your initial public offering of your new dynasty team going in. I mean, there's a lot of effort and energy going in, a lot of momentum behind you. And then you come in and you spent some money, my friend, quick and fast coming into the draft. So I'm curious, how are you feeling now? We think in our minds that our draft experience is unique. First of all, it's an auction draft, which is not the most popular or common thing within fantasy football. In fact, we consider it pretty niche. So we've got the auction draft going on. So even if you're loosely familiar with fantasy football, that's still a curveball coming into it because it's not the standard snake. And we in our league consider our draft particularly tough because of the amount of experience and consideration and preparation that goes into the auction draft. So I'm curious to know from the outside looking in, as you're jumping into the first time draft with us, was all that BS or what was your experience? Are we full of it, or was there a competitive feel and an intensity that we believe is there? What was your take on the draft?
I'd say 50-50. You know, this is an honest show. We're gonna keep it clean. So you have to remember, with this being my first fantasy football draft ever, everything is new. So there's no bad mechanics to drafting. Something else was, I did do my homework. I did try to prepare to the best of my ability. Did not want to embarrass myself the first go around. I don't mind if next season I don't do as well as I hope. But the first season, I wanted to make sure I came out swinging, which I think I did. I don't know what else to say about that. I thought I did a decent job, a decent showing. But right now, this is about the season, and I look forward to from here on out being a bit more competitive than I had been this previous week.
Gotcha.
In your preparation for joining the league, did you listen back to old podcasts?
I actually did.
Oh. Did you feel like you were able to get a feel for the league, some of the league members, or the draft itself overall?
Listen to this. Yeah, I was actually more interested in getting, truthfully, any insight on the personalities and how we go about not only drafting but preparing. And listening from previous years, you guys do your homework, each and every one of you. So I wanted to make sure to do the same. And I think that sort of diligence, whether needed or not, played a role in my ultimate draft grade.
I think you did certainly come out swinging in the draft. You did very well in the draft. And then, before the season even began, you executed your first trade.
That's right.
As well. First trade of the season. Pre-season post-draft trades don't happen too often. I guess maybe we had one last year as well. But I guess what was the motivation for you behind the trade? Were you dissatisfied with your draft, the makeup of your team? Is there some a void you were looking to fill with the trade that you executed?
Yes, the void definitely was at the tight end primarily. I knew I did come heavy on the wide receivers. The intention was to bring in at least a couple of tradable players, knowing I wouldn't hold on to them for the entire season. The secondary strategy was to get more out of my trade than I drafted for. I think the actual trade was actually pretty even for the most part. I will say I do not know if those that I traded for are producing as much as I'd like them to. Particularly at the tight end level, but it's only been 1 week, so I'm not all too concerned. But that was the intention, to draft at least one or two possible folks that I knew I would trade right out of the get-go.
Interesting. Yeah, I think you definitely accumulated some good trade chips and cashed those in. You got three solid players back. You got Travis Kelce, who certainly was a bummer in the first week with only one catch, but Jordan Howard looking like a really good add to your team. And then Marvin Jones is kind of middle of the road. We'll see what becomes of him. But certainly those are three playable players that can fit on your team. All right, so that brings us to week one with a disappointment from Travis Kelce there, and maybe a little bit from Marvin Jones as well. What was the experience for you like in your first week ever as a fantasy football owner, you know, experiencing the NFL Sunday? Did you watch more of the NFL because of your interest in the fantasy football component of it, or were you just kind of scoreboard watching the whole day?
Oh, no, for sure. No, I'm 100% committed. I have been watching more of the NFL on my phone than I have ever. So that definitely is a change. There was just an entire sense of excitement. I will say, what is the Tyson quote? Everyone has a plan until you're punched in the face. I kind of feel like that happened to me this past week.
Well played.
Such a great plan, ready to go, and from Hunt to even Brady, it did not produce as much as I thought he would. Although I think they won their game, but I've been surprised how little I care if a team wins or loses.
It's remarkable. Yes. We become part of the problem with the NFL fandom because of fantasy football. That's right.
I don't. My kids asked me on Sunday, like, which team I'm cheering for when a game is on as we're watching something. Like, all right, who are you cheering for? And I like to watch the NFL Red Zone, where it flips around to a bunch of different games all the time, like wherever the action is. And so they'll tell me, like, okay, now who are you cheering for? And it's like, I like that player from that team, and I like that player from that team.
That's right.
So I tell them, I'm like, I like to just kind of cheer for the best players.
That's it.
Specifically, these 10 guys on my team.
As parents, is this culture difficult to teach through in terms of sportsmanship and the idea of team first? And yet here we are cheering on and rooting on. I mean, we're really promoting individualism. And you guys both played team sports growing up. What is that like?
Yeah, I feel like that my kids know I do fantasy football. I play fantasy football, but they don't really know the details beyond that. It's more so, it's something I do with my friends. It's not so much about how to actually watch the games. Watching the games, we're about the team and what's going on, but in my head, it's very different.
Yeah, and given the fact that Charlotte is weeks old now, I as long as she's eating and warm and pooping, I think she is cheering me on.
All right, fair enough. I don't know. I feel like I just have this vision of me, you know, giving birth to my son at some point, but me probably going early. And then him just like going through this Disney movie worthy discovery process of listening to old TNR tapes and, you know, discovering who his dad really was and falling in love with him. That probably brings some sort of redemption or conflict that we had early on in our relationship, and it restores him. And then he gets signed and he remembers. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. I don't know. So
you haven't thought about it.
Never thought about it, but I don't know. Just curious. So moving on. So Charles, coming out of the draft, you were given a pretty good top rank positioning from both Peter and I. Pete had you at rank number 2 with an A, and I had you ranked number 3 with that B+, right there.
And
there's
that B+. Yeah.
So that's just the curve of, you know, rank 2nd and 3rd respectively. And blame Poker Face. I mean, you know, I played the 5th. I just read it how I see it. That's all. But with that, so you're carrying that into week 1. You're going up against a pretty decent matchup at which you're projected pretty tightly with Ben going into it. At one point, y'all were both projected pretty high around 150, and then y'all both fell into like the 120s. But watching your projection totals, they stayed really tight through the whole weekend. So going into week 1, what was riding on this matchup for you, and what do you think about the outcome?
Well, the outcome was a great learning lesson. That's how I'm choosing to view it.
You're a great dad. I don't know what you're worried about.
But, you know, I can't be too disappointed. It's week 1. I have a decent team. I will say the Hunt's performance was disappointing. And my tight end, disappointing.
Especially because it was a game where their team won with a score of 38 points. They put 38 points on the board, and those two guys are supposed to be keys to their offense, and they combined for 6.5 fantasy points. So that's especially disappointing.
Just, I'm not saying my team is catered around them, but they are supposed to play a role, and when they don't, it's noticeable.
Just like any team sport, everyone's got to do their job, and those guys did not do their job on week 1 for you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so now one other bit of housekeeping we do need to cover is your team name. Let me just go back real quick. How did you decide on the White House for your team name? And I guess what sort of message are you attempting to convey with that? We've speculated, but I think we also need to make sure we get that directly from the source.
I think your speculation was pretty spot on as it relates to the dominance. The mentality of maybe not to get too political, don't need to go down the road, but the rationale behind the name is to signify both my interest in politics and the buck stops here.
Fair. It's fair. Well said. We think it's pointed. We think it's sharp, as we've discussed on the past couple episodes, and you proceeded to commit a little bit of slander in the use of my copyrighted production for your own purposes.
That was so great. I loved every second of it. Oh.
But we do like your team, and we're super glad that you're in the league. I think you're going to be right in the middle of it. Pete's got you in the dropped spot all the way down to rank 10, dropping from 2nd on his list last week. So that's a pretty steep movement. And you made a couple more waiver moves today as you look towards the next week coming up. So how are you feeling about week 2 in your matchup?
truthfully, I'm shooting in the dark here. My folks have thrown me for a loop. I do not know what to expect. I do need more time to determine how they're going to do this season. The one thing that I'm starting to realize, particularly as you look at previous statistics and numbers and those sorts of things, it gives you an idea of where they've been and what maybe they could do, but it is not a for sure thing. Not even close. And given the fact that, again, my two out of the three top producers, or I guess that would be two out of the four top producers, or who I thought would be a top producer, did not even come close, gives me great reservation moving forward into this week. So I'm not taking anything for granted. There will be some shifts in my roster. I'm not quite sure how those will look at game day decisions, but as it relates to the confidence of it all, I would be lying if I said I was completely confident, but that seems to be my MO. So I am completely confident going into week two, and I look forward to a solid victory.
Well good. There's a big difference between 1-1 and 0-2, and the way it feels. So we certainly will wish you the best.
That's right.
There. But we are very grateful that you are in the league. No one has been more active in really every facet of the game than you. So really, you are an addition, a dream come true to the league for both me as the commissioner and kind of Seth as our community leader of the league. We're very excited to have you and really looking forward to many years to come of competing with you and against you and kind of sharing this bond together. So thank you for joining the league. Thank you for being on the show tonight. And I think we will bid you adieu, and we'll continue the rest of the show without you.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
That's Charles Gaines signing off. Good night, buddy.
Good night.
What a guy. So much fun. So glad that he is with us. He's got a pretty decent matchup going into week two as Charles sets up to face Scott. He's recovering a little bit as well from week one, as he was one of those that would probably say that his team performed less than he had hoped and expected as well. And so we'll see how Scott's maneuvers set them up, and we'll discuss their matchup presently. Before we do, Pete, why don't you give us a little recap of week one and some of the highlights of our return to the Pelwood Fantasy Football League 2018?
Yeah, so I want to get a little more details of your top scoring performance. For one, it started off not exactly with a bang, as your quarterback played on Thursday night, first game of the season, and managed 9 points total. So that was certainly an auspicious start for your team. But yeah. really came on strong, especially on the backs of Kamara. And then I think the big surprise was Kenny Stills' performance.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, Kamara scored 42 and Stills scored 27 points. And that was kind of a funny game because it was in a lightning delay for a really long time. So when Stills scored his points, it was kind of later in the day, almost like for me, I'd forgotten that game was still going.
That's true.
I'd kind of written it off like, well, that one's done, you know? So and then Stills ripped off like a 70-yard touchdown or something.
Yeah.
Crazy like that. So, I mean, really some big performances outside your quarterback almost across the board. And so you've got to feel just really good about that one.
I do, and I'm thankful for that. I thought after Thursday that my chances of overcoming Brock, who we both have ranked number one as of week one, going into the week, I did not think that that was going to be possible, but fortunately the rest of my team picked up, or at least the majority of the rest of my team picked up a little bit of the slack. Trey Burton did not have a great outing in that encounter with Green Bay, but I am thankful that the Ravens defense also went above and beyond and shut down Buffalo. So that worked out in my favor too. So ultimately I was riding high, and like I said earlier, I love the addition of the top score, because after passing Brock, and I mean it was basically a lock, because the last of Brock's team was done in the early evening on Sunday, And so I had already locked it in and was up by about 30 points. And at that point, it became a race to the top and had some surprising competitors in that race that I didn't anticipate having going into that evening.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely so, especially if you listen to our post-draft analysis. As Ben and Chewy and Derek were all really right there with you for most of Sunday in terms of competitors with projected score near the top of the spectrum. So I had them ranked 10, 11, and 12 respectively coming out of the draft. And they went on to score 2, 3, and 4 in terms of points in week one. So I am certainly eating quite a bit of crow. I have not yet received any thank you notes.
That's
from
what
any
I'm wondering. Like, why are they not thanking us for this? Like
reverse jinxing them.
That's right.
I feel like that was a gift that was bestowed
yes.
on them, and I'm sensing a little bit of a lack of gratitude coming back the other way. But I will. I'll forgive it. I'll allow it. I'm sure there's some bitterness and resentment for the poor draft trade. So it's probably difficult to overcome that. So I will. I'll forgive it certainly.
Well, I think you are making the right argument and justified in your staking claim. I think the only thing that could have been worse/better is if Chris Windsor had been in the running as well. That just would have been icing on the cake, just complete evidence of a reverse jinx. However, that was not to be. There was another matchup that we didn't really know until after the fact, but it really became the game of the week, and that was your game up against Jared. How were you feeling going into that push and shove match?
Well, I felt like I was under-equipped going into it since I was missing my best player with Le'Veon Bell, making the knucklehead decision to not appear in the Steelers' camp at all before week one. And so that left Jared with Le'Veon Bell's backup, James Conner, just to run roughshod all over the Cleveland Browns and score 36 points. So that was in one of the early games on Sunday, and I gotta tell you, it didn't feel good. Really was disheartening to see the backup to my star player just whooping me. and yet, it was really kind of downhill from there for Jared's team. I think some underperformances the rest of the way, and really the killer was the Saints defense scoring -7 points, and then Aaron Rodgers getting hurt during Monday night. Certainly you could say it did help because he had such an amazing second half, but he missed a quarter of the game. So what might have been for Jared, as he only lost by 1.6 points. So there's a lot of moments in that matchup where you could point to it and say, oh, well, Jared should have won because of this and this and this. So I feel very lucky to get out of that one. I only came back and won it on Monday night because Robbie Anderson caught one pass for a long touchdown. And that was the only ball he caught. That was the only time he was thrown to in the game. And he just lucked into a long touchdown, which gave me just enough points to squeak by. So certainly a brutal loss for Jared. I'm happy to escape with a victory in week one with the stars aligning for me.
Yeah, it was a close shave. A lot of coulda, woulda, shouldas. But ultimately, even your bench was right there neck and neck. Part of me felt for Jared just because it sucks to lose that way. And yeah, looking at the Saints taking away all those points, but Aaron going down, I mean, there was just a collective nationwide gasp, like just a not again feeling. And I really like Aaron Rodgers, and him being knocked out of the game, and like you said, being out for over a quarter, that makes a big difference because we're talking about one or two passes. That would make up for that absence of pointage there. But also, it provided a false hope, too, because it was Aaron Rodgers and his phenomenal comeback that even brought Jared back into the running. And so that was another little bit of salt in the wound for him. So I'm feeling for him this week, especially after we praised his team after his draft, and evidence shows that he is a wicked good fantasy football player. That was just a tight race.
Yep, absolutely. And so we move on to week number two. We can start running through some of the games, previewing them ahead of this week. So looking at the board, it's a fun week because we've got two games between teams that are 1-0. We've got two games between teams that are 0-1. So as we kind of look at how even the lead is over the course of the season, the parity makes it more fun, and it certainly looks like we're primed for great opportunities for that to continue.
Absolutely.
And also with those, you know, there's going to be a couple teams, you know, two or three teams that are going to be 2-0. There's going to be a two or three teams that are 0-2. So it will be, you'll start to feel some of the pressure turned up after week two.
So we got a lot of good games coming up, some fun matchups. There's still been some movement, so we don't have a real accurate picture of who's going to be in what position just yet. So we're going to have to talk through more so of the potential options that each manager has, as well as things they're trying to either adjust or make up for from week one. Who do you want to start with?
I want to start with actually Chris and Brock, Chris Windsor and Brock's matchup. There's a couple of 0-1 teams going at it. Chris with the lowest score in week one. And I'm expecting this to be kind of I think it might be a big bounce back week for him. We'll see what happens. But I think he's got some pieces on his team that should perform a lot better this week than last. While Brock had the Brock had the misfortune of facing you in week one and now is looking to have a knocked a victory for him. I think on paper, Brock probably has a better looking team, but I do think Chris should have some positive regression based on how low his team scored in week one. So this one will be interesting, I think, to watch.
Yeah, I agree. So we've got with Chris, he's got Andy Dalton back on top, which we expect him to have another decent turnout in front of Baltimore. Christian McCaffrey definitely underplayed last week. He's up against Atlanta this week, and they struggled on defense. And I think that the normalization of McCaffrey's points we should see this week. Royce Freeman should do better than he did last week. AJ Green is going to do just fine this week up against Baltimore as well. So a couple of questionables for me right now. I'm curious to see if Corey Davis can hold up against Houston secondary. Josh Gordon as well is a kind of a weak number two wide out. Is kind of a weak number two option. He doesn't have a real strong run down his wides this week, and so that's going to kind of be maybe his potential weak spot right there. Otherwise, I think his team looks good, and I agree with you. He could have potential to bounce back. We'll see what James White does as New England faces up against Jacksonville.
Yeah, I think there's just a few spots where Chris's team has some good matchups. I like McCaffrey's spot versus Atlanta. That's really a defense that fits McCaffrey's skills perfectly. And Josh Gordon is such a wild card. Don't really know what you're going to get, but he is playing in New Orleans. And we saw Tampa Bay go into New Orleans and all their receivers just have monster games. So we'll see if the Browns are able to do the same with Josh Gordon. So I think there's definitely some interesting spots for Chris there. On the other side, Brock's got David Johnson is questionable. He had a back issue that limited him in practice. Hopefully he's able to play. I think Brock's already put some guys in his lineup who he had on his bench last week and regretted it with Russell Wilson and Chris Thompson in there now. While Michael Thomas was a close number two behind Kamara on New Orleans and now gets to face the Browns. That's juicy. Devin Funchess's projection certainly goes up now that Greg Olsen is out for a significant amount of time. That's always beneficial for Funchess. So I think that there's some good stuff going on for Brock's team as well. It'll be interesting to see what the Jaguars defense is able to do against New England, playing them at home. Kind of the best defense against a top offense. That's always a intriguing matchup, certainly.
Yeah, for sure. So who's your pick this week, and what's your score call?
My head says Brock. My heart says Chris. So
and I think that's well said.
All right, let's cover the other matchup of winless teams with Scott facing off against Charles. This one's a little bit harder to analyze right now because Scott has made some movements on his roster and only has half a team out there right now. But Charles is certainly looking for a bounce back from Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce. They've got no easy task going into Pittsburgh. While Antonio Brown should have a great day at home playing the Chiefs' lack of a secondary. Tom Brady in Jacksonville, like I said, with Brock's defense, that will be interesting to see how Brady's able to do against the best defense in the league. So not a slam dunk for Charles, I think, with the way some of his matchups shake out, but I certainly think he'll put up a above average score. So I think Scott has his work cut out from him in terms of the team he needs to get out there.
Yep, agreed.
So I'm on Charles's side on this one, just because it's hard to feel confident in a team that had to swap out half its starting lineup that first week in Scott's side. So.
Yeah, that is certainly true, and I feel firm on that one. I also think that not only is it a favorable matchup for Chris, a favorable matchup for Charles, but also his team looks really good this week, especially some of these good-looking matchups within his running back setup. And so I want to believe that it may be a close game, but I don't think it will be.
Yep. All right, so let's talk about Ben and Michael's matchup real quick. Right now, they're projected very closely, both around 124 points. Ben certainly outperformed our expectations in week one. He got, you know, some good weeks from kind of what we had identified as his weak spot at running back, but Ajayi and Hyde both got they got three touchdowns between them, so that was certainly a good start to the season. Gronk did Gronk things, and Davante Adams was solid, but now he, I believe, has a back injury and is nursing that this week. Amari Cooper was a flop for Ben. He only scored a couple of points. So it'll be interesting to see if he is able to get things going in Denver, which is, you know, typically a tough bill for wide receivers. So there are some good things for Ben with Drew Brees at home against Cleveland. Hyde playing in New Orleans, that, you know, certainly is opportunity for scores for him as well. You gotta love the Rams defense at home against the Cardinals as well. So Ben's looking to be in pretty good shape.
Yep, agreed. And over on Fitz's side, he went with Jared Goff, and I was excited to see that was not a bad pick at all, especially with the Todd Gurley dynamic. And so the 1-2 that he's rocking there on his QB RB trade-off, we'll see if that matchup connects and helps him out in the long run. I feel like I have a hard time calling this one per se, but just looking at the overall ranking and firepower of the lineup, I think I have to go with them.
Yeah, I'm here with Michael on this side. Michael's very long on the Rams this week. He's got right. Goff and Gurley and Kupp. And between those three guys, I feel like he's going to have all the touchdowns that the Rams score, and they've got a juicy matchup at home against a poor Arizona team, or at least an Arizona team that was not able to put much of a fight against Washington at home last week. So I think the Rams should run all over Arizona, and I think Michael will be the beneficiary of a lot of that. He's got LeSean McCoy at home versus the Chargers, and McCoy is always better at home. The Bills want to run it a lot, so McCoy should be very busy. And then Odell Beckham in Dallas, I think that's a juicy I think that's a juicy matchup for him. So yeah. I'm going with Michael here. George Kittle also at tight end showed some good things in week one and should eat up a matchup at home against Detroit now. So I like Michael's team here. I actually think he's under projected where he should be.
All right, well, that takes us to a couple of our undefeated teams. First up being Andy and Derek, both going up against each other 1-0 with lots to put out there on the line. What do you think about their matchups this week?
So Derek obviously put up a big score, 157 points last week. Andy more so squeaked by with a score around 130, but he had a better matchup. Coming into this one, Derek's got he's got now Patrick Mahomes slotted at quarterback after he put up a massive point total in Los Angeles. Now he's going to be in Pittsburgh. I think that's going to be a tougher matchup for him. I think playing in Pittsburgh is much more difficult than playing in LA. We'll see what happens there. Saquon Barkley kind of had a rough week, except for ripping off one 60-yard touchdown against Jacksonville, but now he's going against Dallas, which should be a bit of an easier go for it for him. You've got Juju and Mike Evans and Jarvis Landry. They all had really good weeks in week one, and I really don't see a reason that they're going to slow down in week two. So Derek's team, you know, on paper, looking stronger than we may have initially thought coming out of the draft.
Yeah, well, if we didn't say that, he would probably send us some more commentary in the group me, and I have to agree. I just want to remind him here and now that my gut grade for him was closer to a B. So there you go. Definitely saw that. Great performance out of him this week. Now, Andy, his point base last week was a little bit of an anomaly. He had a couple of drops. Obviously, Doug Baldwin not being able to help him at all. He didn't get anything out of Kelvin Benjamin. And he, unfortunately, compared to the rest of the league, he actually had the most bench points out of anybody else in the league with 76.4. Most of those points coming from Isaiah Crowell's huge performance as well as Randall Cobb's. You could argue that neither of them will be that valuable again in the next coming week. However, Isaiah Crowell is going to continue to get opportunity on the goal line. Randall Cobb, his performance depends on Aaron Rodgers' health as well, and so we will see what decisions Andy makes with start sit on those two players, but definitely kind of a black eye on his scoreboard. But no need to complain because the W is a W going up this week.
I think the one wild card here, the X factor, is Julio Jones at home against Carolina. Could be just a big spot for Julio. He got a ton of targets in week one, and that was in Philadelphia. Put up a big story against the defense there. I think Carolina in Atlanta is going to be a softer matchup. So Julio is the kind of player, you know, he can score 50 points on you. You know, we've seen him get 300 yards receiving or three touchdowns. He did have one of those weeks. So that will be an interesting one to watch. Out, you know, if Julio has a normal-ish game for him, you know, around 20 points or so, I would lean towards Derek in this matchup. But I think Julio could certainly be a weak winner for Andy if things break the right way.
Yep, you're not wrong. Based on the lineup as it is right now, I'm going to go with Derek.
I am too, but certainly leaving open the door for Julio to win it all.
All right. Well, that takes us over to our other pair of undefeated teams. Pete, how are you feeling about your matchup this weekend?
You know, Le'Veon Bell is still not reported in Pittsburgh. And as long as he is not reported in Pittsburgh and is not getting his full workload there, I am not going to feel super confident about any matchup going into it. It just really lowers my floor and my ceiling. Not great, Bob.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm excited to hear your honesty about that. Last week, it felt like you were trying to play it a little cool, like the house is on fire and Pete's at the dining table going, this is fine. This is fine.
I assumed Le'Veon would act like a rational human being who would want to collect an $850,000 check. He apparently does not. So I'm not sure what to do with someone who's not going to behave rationally.
All right. Well, we shall see. What is the reporting timeline? Is it Saturday once again?
I guess so. Who knows? I think anything I've read has been like, why isn't Le'Veon reported yet? Like, what baloney is his agent telling him in his ear that he hasn't reported yet? So,
well, he's setting himself up for some pretty high expectation when he does come back because of fantasy football alone. There are tons and tons of league owners that either wasted their first round pick on him thus far or spent a ton of money in their auction draft. And if he doesn't deliver on day one, whatever day that is, he's going to have even more people pissed off at him.
Yeah, or what if he comes back and is now in a timeshare with James Conner, who's torn it up as a bell cow running back. And then it's like, well, now, you know, you're not this unique butterfly anymore in terms of being a guy who can, you know, touch the ball 35 times a game and be fine and run out there. So are you even going to get that big contract you wanted in the offseason anymore?
Nope. You're right.
So I don't know what to tell you. But I like Melvin Gordon. I love what I saw out of him in the first week, and I hope he continues to do good things. But I don't know if it's going to be enough to carry the day, because, you know, on the other side too, he's got Joe Mixon, who really handled a similar workload as, you know, one of the, you know, the Gurleys or Le'Veon's or, you know, like Melvin Gordon had in the first week. So Mixon's looking like a really good pickup for Chewy. And that could be a guy who carries his team. So.
Yep, agreed. And you've got Chewy, who's also coming off of a what was certainly an underprojected week where he's definitely hot. And so you're going to need some posted points in order to be competitive this week, Pete.
I agree. I'm gonna need a kind of a fluke performance from someone. And look at my team, I'm not sure where this is gonna come from. So, not feeling great about this week. Fingers crossed for Le'Veon showing up and doing work at some point in the near future.
Yeah. Well, I think that your bang for your buck is gonna come in the form of a combo between Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon this week. I think that's where any saving grace is going to be there. Otherwise, I got to go with Chris.
Yep. Yeah. We'll hope for a couple of 80-yard touchdown screen plays to Melvin Gordon.
That's right. It could happen.
Yeah, that's all I need.
It could happen. All right. Well, I don't want to be so bold as to claim the game of the week, and especially with the potential pride before the fall there. However, we have saved Jared and I's matchup for last. What are your thoughts about it, given its position?
It's absolutely the game of the week. So the third highest projected score from any team is 130 points. You and Jared are essentially both projected at 140 points. So these are clearly the two biggest firepowers in the lead right now, and ESPN at least loves your teams. Now, a couple big things, and really it starts at the quarterback position. You've got a decision between Tyrod Taylor and Matt Ryan. Jared has Aaron Rodgers, who is a big question mark whether he'll be able to play or not. You know, it's kind of an adrenaline-fueled second half for him. And now that that's worn off, maybe he won't feel up for playing this week. So really don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position, and that's certainly going to be a big impact here.
Yep, and we shall see. Other than Brock, who bought Philip Lindsay this week for $40, I've spent the most on the waiver and picking up Tyrod. I think that was a really good option this week, and so I haven't firmly made a decision there. Looking for a little bit more insight going into the end of the week, but definitely an option.
Yeah, it's, in terms of picking between the teams, you're both really strong at running back. You certainly get the edge because you've got Kamara and Zeke. But Jared with Lamar Miller and James Conner, those are both guys who are going to play all three downs as well. So they're kind of like light versions of your running backs in that way. You've both got guys who are going to catch a lot of passes at wide receiver. Jared with Thielen and Keenan Allen and DeAndre Hopkins, those guys are all going to just eat up all the targets. And you've got Larry Fitzgerald and Golden Tate and Kenny Stills, you know, kind of primary options out of the slot for their team. Certainly going to pick up a lot of catches, favorable in the PPR format. This is a really even matchup just down the board, in my opinion. So I think ESPN's got it right. Going to be a high scoring, close game. Really tough to call at this point without knowing the status of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, where I think I'm weakest in comparison is in the flex position right now. I've got Matt Breida in there currently. He's got Tyler Lockett, who's going to get a heck of a lot more touches than Matt is going to get yards. But I'm hoping that the, well, that's not true. He's going to get a heck of a lot more opportunity to score with passes than Matt Breida is going to get with rushing yards. But I'm hoping that Matt can pick up a red zone touchdown in there to bring him into competitiveness.
Yeah, this will be a fun one to watch. Certainly going to be tracking it all Sunday.
As am I, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'll keep an eye on it.
Maybe the secret is to not watch the games.
Maybe so.
To not sweat it out. But then where would be the fun be in that?
There'd be no fun. Now, I got a question now for you, given that we have a new dynamic in our league. So we've gone through our predictions in the matchups, but we are also competing for top scores. So based on the conversation we've had thus far, who do you believe is in the best running for top score this week?
That is a great question. It's All right, so it'd be too easy, I think, to pick you or Jared because you're projected for so much higher than anyone else. So, yeah, I want to go there. So I'd say most likely candidate is going to come out of your game. And really, I kind of would favor you right now. Kamara at home versus Cleveland, that's just too juicy.
It's pretty juicy.
James Conner just scored 36 points on them in Cleveland. I can't imagine what Kamara's going to do at home. So that's that should really boost you up. And then Zeke coming and playing at home as opposed to on the road, that should help him as well too. So I'd say you are in the front runner position. I'll give a nod to Jared as well, depending on what Aaron Rodgers is able to do. But the dark horse candidate, I'm going to go with the Julio Jones owner of Andy.
Nice.
In terms of that would be my dark horse, because I really think Julio. I remember 3 or 4 years ago owning Julio when he played at home versus Carolina, and he just lit it up.
Dominated.
So I'm having flashback of that performance, and I think it really could be like a monster week for Julio. It's not likely, but it could be. So yeah. That's my dark horse candidate.
Gotcha. Well, this may be a cop out too, based on last week, but I'm going to go with Derek this week. And that's based off of a couple of things. One, I think that Saquon Barkley's matchup against Dallas is going to help the Giants come back into relevancy a little bit. I imagine he's going to do very, very well. I also like Devonta Freeman against Carolina. So I think that Derek has the opportunity to put up a lot of touchdowns this weekend, and therefore I think he's going to be up top.
All right. Well, I think we're off to a great start with the lead. I am very pleased with how things are going, and I hope the swish factor starts to come into play very soon. It's never too early for things to start swishing.
TM. Yeah.
So yeah, all is well with the Pellwood Fantasy League.
Yeah, indeed it is. Well, very, very good job, Kamish, as always, leading us and maintaining the proper tone and providing the proper insight and commentary on the things that we are doing. I got to say that of your 12 power rankings, my favorite this week, number 7, Jared. Brutal week, 1 loss, .. Maybe your quote, that team this year, .. The pointedness of this power ranking was so shrewd, and so, because it was a commentary, and it elicited the reaction out of Jared, because he knew exactly what you meant by that, as we all did, and he proceeded to tell you in heavier terms to shut your mouth.
Well, yeah, I think this week's power rank has had a kind of a nice flow to it, right? Because like you were on top, and then Derek Chewy and Ben right after, in terms of just I was totally wrong, and then I've somehow got my rank right at the preseason, and then talking about Andy's team having the win in week one with the lowest score of any winner. When last season he scored more points than anyone, but also lost a bunch because he had more points scored against him than anyone. It just kind of, then it was like Andy was that team last
That's
year.
Right.
And it's like, is Jared going to be that team this year?
Mm.
Knows. So there's kind of a continuous thread of story.
Absolutely.
It's nice. Out that way,
calling on the depth, the history of the league too, just poignant, my friend. But I wouldn't expect anything less, because it's the greatest fantasy football league in the world, and this is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night. But there was another matchup that kind of posthumously.
I don't know who died.
There was a, well, Jared did. There was another matchup.